Good morning. Our scripture reading today comes from the book of James, chapter 5, verse 4. Chapter 5, verse 4. Behold, the pay of the laborers who mowed your fields and which has been withheld by you cries out against you, and the outcry of those who did the harvesting has reached the ears of the Lord of Sabaoth. Can we read that again? Behold, the pay of the laborers who mowed your fields and which has been withheld by you cries out against you, and the outcry of those who did the harvesting has reached the ears of the Lord of Sabaoth. Now, I want to kind of tread carefully in my first few sort of thoughts. Now, you know, it's sensitive when we talk about, you know, money and you know, people's accumulation of that and in comparison. But you know, statistics will say that we here probably are in the, what, top 5% of the world's, in terms of living standards. You know, consider, what, 3.4 billion people in the world, right? A lot of times we, you know, not, I mean, naturally so, kind of in this microcosm of our community or whatnot, in comparison to the world, we compare in or against, you know, what I have versus what this person have, what this person sitting in the front has versus what that person. But in comparison, in the, you know, in the grand scheme of things, we're quite well off. You know, even educationally, you know, we have some of the best education in the world compared to probably 90%+ of the rest of the world. And so, with that in mind, I that's sort of the context in which I'm kind of presenting this. When you look at the book of James, and particularly this verse, it's dealing with the issue of wealth, right? With believers within the community of God who are proud of the accumulation or the amount that they have. When Charles Lynn was sharing in his testimony a couple weeks ago, you know, it's something that I had read in C.S. Lewis, you know, many years back, and something that had deeply convicted me. It was before my time here in Hong Kong, and in some ways, it's almost like I had forgotten it. And in my journey here, you know, even as a pastor and teaching, but at the same time, you know, God's doing things in my heart and you know, raising me up and growing me up. And when he was speaking those words, and I'll read them, it just kind of reminded me and really convicted my heart. And so I wanted to read that again for you, just briefly. Okay, and this is C.S. Lewis speaking. Okay. In fact, if you want to find out how proud you are, the easiest way is to ask yourself, how much do I dislike it when other people snub me or refuse to take any notice of me or shove their oar in or patronize me or show off? The point is that each person's pride is in competition with everyone else's pride. It is because I wanted to be the big noise at the party that I am so annoyed at someone else being the big noise. Two of a trade never agree. Now, what you want to get clear is that pride is essentially competitive. It is competitive by its very nature. While other vices are competitive only, so to speak, by accident, pride gets no pleasure out of having something, only out of having more of it than the next man. And so, really, the issue that I'm addressing this morning, you know, whether it's, you know, finance or relationships or whatnot, is this idea of pride. Now, two questions I want to sort of pose to you that are very common and applicable, and things I want to address, things that have been kind of coming at me lately is, one, why not, or why can't I, right? You know, oftentimes we find ourselves in a position or situation, well, who says it's bad? Well, why can't I? Why can't I just one time? Why can't I just say this to him one time, right? And then he'll never forget, and he'll leave me alone or something. Or why can't I just, you know, eat this whole cake, right? Why do I have to have only a slice? You know, and so this idea of like, well, who says, you know, well, what affects, and you know, as a child, and even as an adult, I struggle with this, and I would say, God, you know, I would complain to God, right? And that's how I already know my heart's in a place where it needs some dealing. But I would say, God, why did you make broccoli so good for you, and brownies so bad for you, you know? Like, it just, like, come on, you know, like, why can't I eat brownies, and why can't that make me strong and healthy because I enjoy it brings me so much pleasure, and why can't broccoli be bad for me, right? I mean, you know, It sounds stupid, but that sort of mindset. And I'm complaining. And, you know, obviously, naturally, broccoli is good for me. It's from the earth. You know, brownies are processed. It has fats. It'll destroy your body. And so, it's, you know, if you're a rational person, maybe you don't deal with these things. But other things, right? Relationships, right? Money or possessions, right? Why, God, why not? Or why can't I? And really what it's dealing with is the issue, you know, of pride, but in the form of entitlement, right? In some way saying, I deserve this. It's okay if I do it once. It's not going to affect or hurt that much. The second question, you know, and this is something that, you know, that has been kind of on my mind is why do I feel the need to take advantage of someone, right? If I'm in a position of authority, or if I'm in a position, however slightly, incrementally, even one step above, why is it, do I feel the need that I have to take advantage of someone? For example, you know, I'm trying to sell my car. I've been trying to sell it for since the day I bought it, 3 years ago, right? It was a bad investment. And I'm trying to sell this thing, and, you know, there's so much that I can do, you know, exterior, right? Fixing the bumps, the scratches, and that's not a big deal. Someone looks at that, it's fixed, they'll buy it. Now, I have a problem with my engine, right? Any man worth his salt, if they recognize that there's something wrong with the engine after so many years, you're not going to buy it, okay? So I'm in this position where I have this knowledge that, yeah, it's a minor thing. Honestly, okay, I'm just going to bring you through my thought process. It's a little thing, right? The car's not going to blow up. Right? It's not going to hurt anyone. It's just a small computer chip within the, you know, engine system that says that a little more than should be emissions is being exerted, right, in terms of carbon monoxide or whatever, right? So it's just, so a part of me is like, you know, okay, not a part of me, it's not me, it's the devil, is telling me, like, you don't have to, it's such a little thing, you know, it's just a little emissions problem, you know, and I know that the moment I say it, one of two things, this guy's not going to buy the car, no way, engine problem, you know, red alert, you know, what other stuff is under the hood, or two, you know, immediate 30-40% dock price, so out of 50,000, you know, I'm only going to pay 30,000, so, you know, processing this, and as I was processing this, I was asking myself, why do I even feel? Like, why is this even an issue, right? It should be a no-brainer for the man of God. Ah, you know, give the car away for free, right? Why is this even an issue for me, right? And it's based on this, you know, this specific area of provision, right? Why do I feel like I have to take advantage? Why do I feel like maybe I don't need to say this so that I can get a little more, a little extra? And again, it's dealing with this idea of pride in the area of self-provision. Why not? I'm entitled to it. It's just a little thing. I need 20 or 30. You know, I would make good use of it. And so when you consider these two questions that I just threw out to you, when I consider this passage that we read where it talks about people taking advantage of people in lower circumstances, right, with withholding pay or you know, just because you're able to. Now, James will also talk about, you know, earlier in the book, how when one person comes in of stature and wealth, how in many ways innately we treat them differently, right? And basically when someone poor comes in, we give them the lesser seat. We give the someone who comes in with status, with wealth, and here's the idea. I read a devotional recently, and it's basically saying you treat the person the way you want. And at the what's basically going on in your heart is you treat a person the way you want based on what you think you can get from that person. Right? Think about that for a second. Right? Someone comes in for whatever reasons, right? And everyone has different standards that you think is, you know, less or not worth or whatnot your time, or you don't spend a lot of time. Or if they do, you just kind of like, you know, small chat and then you move on. But when someone comes in and whether it's in the workplace or whether even it's in the church, there are certain things you feel like they can do for you or give towards you. And so that affects the way your mannerisms and whatnot, right? And even in the, you know, not so much the selfish sense of I want to get, but even in, I by default, my natural disposition is that I'm a very shy person. And I'll tell you, and I'll make this a confession, I'm more shy to people that I think are above me than I am to people who I may consider either equal or below me. And that's just a straight-up confession, right? I'm more nervous around people that I feel, and it's probably all of us have been in those situations, right? Someone you're comfortable with, or your family, you know, obviously. But then when you meet someone, and so, you know, all areas and issues of dealing with pride, two effects, right, that it has. One, we kiss up to those above. Two, we look down on those below. And this whole idea of, you know, Pastor Sam was talking about that, we don't quench the spirit. You know, as Charles was giving his testimony, and as Pastor Sam was giving his message this last weekend, you know, honestly, there were parts of me where I felt like, man, Sam, you have really grieved the Holy Spirit in some of the, you know, attitudes or some of the thoughts or maybe even some of the little decisions. Oh, not a big deal, but actually were a big deal to God. I want to close by this one illustration. You know, it was my last class in seminary. And it was a South Korean guy. His English wasn't perfect. And we had a class about 9 or 10 people, I think. It was a preaching practicum, right? So just, you know, practicing, you know, speech and whatnot. And this South Korean guy, you know, he's graduating. We're all graduating. And he had, like, an angelic face. You know, just so you could just tell, just a pure heart. And he wore glasses. He had kind of like a pama, like a curly hair. Just a really sweet guy. And he had shared before, and you could really, I mean, I was really impressed upon at how pure his heart was. And to the point that, you know, he was giving a talk on an issue or struggle that he had. And he was talking about how he was struggling with this one incident where he really wanted to rent a pornographic video. And even in such a, you know, a sinful or dirty topic, even as he was sharing it, he was so innocent, right? Because he just seemed so pure. And basically, this is what he was saying. He went into a video store to rent a video, and he stumbled upon, you know, the X-rated featured section. And this is how even then, in his temptation, he's such an angel. And he just started talking with God. It's like, dear God, you know my heart, you know that I love you. And he's sharing this with our class. And, you know, God, can I just, you know, just tonight, you know, can I just, you know, for 1 hour or whatever, can I rent one, Lord? And, you know, I'll just do it one time. And he's having this prayer, this dialogue with God. You know, can I just, for one moment, just one time. And so then he's sharing with the class, and he takes one of the covers, advertisements, and he turns it around. And on the back of it, this is what it, you know, he's sharing, this is what it read. He says, go ahead, right? You know, be your own God. Worship your desires. This is what the plot of the thing was saying. Be your own God. Go ahead. Make your own decision. Worship your desires. And he was horrified. You know, as he was in dialogue with God, and this thing came up, and he immediately threw it back and left that section. And what seemingly to him was just a one-off decision, right? What was like just a one-time, oh, am I entitled to? It's just one time, God, I'll never do it again. What was being masked as just maybe a one mistake, one-off thing, really the devil, what he was presenting, what he was offering, was that he would, even for a moment, dethrone Christ, take Christ out of the center of his decision-making process, right, and put himself back in the center and make his own decisions and be his own God. And really, in our day-to-day, you know, of the 10 to 20 things that come your way today, right, oftentimes we say things like, well, it's just a one-off thing. Lord, you know, why is it so bad? Why can't I just do it one time? And the devil would have us believe that it's an insignificant decision, that it's just something that nobody's going to notice. But really, at the heart of what is going on is an attack. Right, I think that if my friend, if this student had gone and it was, you know, the wording was masked in any other way, he might have fell, he might have been tempted. But it was so clear, the temptation, the assault that the devil was bombarding him, that he would dethrone Christ for that moment, for that hour, for that evening, and make a decision that benefits him, that brings pleasure to him. And so in our day-to-day, there are things that we think, you know, may not be such a big deal, but really at the heart of it, right? At the heart of my question, you know, in selling my car, am I going to sell it? Am I going to disclose all information? At the heart of it, Do I trust God and His provision? Basically, I'm saying, do I trust that I can keep Him in the center, that I don't have to dethrone Him momentarily and put myself on and then take advantage of a situation and then provide for myself? Do I trust that I can keep Christ in the center at the top and make a decision that maybe doesn't work out best for me, but trust that God has my best interest in mind? And that's, you know, essentially what's at heart of the matter. I wanted to say one more thing, one more application, and ask yourself this, because it's something that I've been struggling with. A lot of times in comparison, right, even in the church, we look at someone and we say, well, that person or this girl or this guy has so much more than I do, right? A new possession or the size of their apartment or, you know, just the possessions or even giftings or whatnot. And here's what usually happens in our mindset, right? Man, this guy has so much more, or this person has so much more. Oh, but you know what? At least I have more than this person, right? Honestly, we've done that, right? Well, this person has so much. Oh, I wish I, you know, and one day maybe. But I still have more than this person. Okay, I should be thankful. Okay, I'm happy. You know, in and of itself, it may seem like not a big deal, right? You know, the end means of this whole process is that, okay, God, I'm thankful. Lord, you've provided for me. But think about this for a second. What are we actually saying when we say that? When you say, I wish I had this, or man, that person, or that, you know, this person up here is so cool, and I want to, well, at least I still have more than this person. Okay, well, God, thank you. Right? Do you guys realize what's going on? Where is the root of where your satisfaction is coming, right? What is it in these circumstances and situations? It happens probably every other day. Where is the root? Where is this coming from? Essentially, what we're saying is, and this is what C.S. Lewis is talking about, is I have more than you. Whatever my circumstance, whatever, I have more than you. You know, at least I have. You know, at least I have this, or at least I'm not like him or her. Our satisfaction, right, is coming in the fact that we have more than someone. It's not coming in the fact alone that we have Christ. So the process should be, you know, someone has more or you aspire to be in a situation that you're a circumstance that you're not in. The process should be, God, I give you praise. I have more than enough. Lord, you are my full supply. Right? You shouldn't have to say, I have more, because then it's dealing with the, as C.S. Lewis talks about, the one-upmanship, that I have more in context of. Regardless of that, we are in a place where Paul calls us to say we should be content and thankful for all circumstances and all situations. And the thing that will drive you out of this heart of contentment and you know, joy and peace in the Lord is this area of comparison, an area of pride, of wanting or needing more than what God supplies. Amen? Okay, so let's bow our heads this morning. And my charge to you this morning, and as we meditate, is that God would place on your heart this morning just a sense of righteous dealings. You know, God has empowered each of us and has given us ability and advantages, really. And just ask yourself, you know, are these things so that I can, you know, lift myself up or make myself feel better about the things that I have and the person that I am? Or is it that God has equipped me with these things? Because there are people that, you know, in my workplace that are poor, whether physically, you know, emotionally, materially, definitely spiritually. You know, my charge really is that our hearts would be in a place where we don't feel like necessarily we need more. And that we definitely don't need to take advantage of other individuals who have less. And then I just pray that this morning God would really just impress upon your hearts, just a sense of righteous dealings. Are there people that you owe, quite frankly? Maybe you took advantage of a situation or a piece of information that they weren't privy to. And based on that, you were able to, quite frankly, hoard in, materially or relationally. You pit one person up against another, emotionally or relationally, based on something he or she said out of context or whatever the case would be. Basically, are we in it to always position ourselves in the best light? Because that's pride. And are we in a position where we're constantly complaining? Man. Well, why not, God? Or how come this? Or, Lord, do I really? Okay, fine. Do we really have to look at what's below us to say, well, I have enough? When really all it should take is that we look up at our Savior's face and say, man, I have enough. I have all that I need, infinitely so. So let's just meditate on that as Chizen leads us in a song of worship. Let's go to our prayer focus for today. Let's pray for our mission focus, China and the Chong family, Pastor Nate and Matt's parents. The Chong family, a few of them are actually coming to the retreat. So just pray that it would just be a time of refreshing and connecting and community. Let's pray for the Chichihar orphans. I just visited them a few weeks ago. They're growing well and strong. Let's just pray continual provision, spiritually, emotionally, physically. Pray for the caretakers, that they would just continue to be nurturing and raising these kids up in the faith. Pray for the churches in China, both government and also underground. Pray for the Beijing church plant as we make preparations. We're continuing to meet every Sunday. I'm going to a church planting school for 1 month in September. If you could just pray for all the preparations for that, just covering. Let's just pray for our mission focus today. Let's pray for the Solomon's Porch pastoral staff. Pastor Sam is at a pastoral nurturing school for 1 week this week in Los Angeles. Just pray covering over him, over Lisa and the kids as he's away. Pray for the elder board, the mission committee. Let's just pray God's leading and direction in us, that we would constantly be at the feet of Jesus, humbly coming for him for direction. So let's just pray covering and protection over our leaders. Let's pray for the Febe ministry, Pastor Salamat and Mimi and his wife and children. Just pray continual provision. You know, as we transition, as SP transitions to you know, our new location in Chinacam, just pray that, you know, everything would run smoothly for Febe ministry, that they would be blessed, that maybe even possibly they would, you know, get an increase in their facility. Let's also pray for the Korean church upstairs. They just installed their new senior pastor. So let's just pray that God would use him powerfully, that there would be unity within the church. Let's just pray a blessing over these ministries. Let's pray for our Tuesday house church that meet tonight, Star Street, Old Peak Road in Seymour, and Lan Kwai Fong. Let's just pray God's presence would go before them, that as they meet tonight, that God would dwell heavy in the midst of them, that there would be healing, confession, prayer, you know, celebration, sharing a meal. Let's just pray God's presence to come over in all these meetings. Lastly, let's pray for just all the logistics that's now going to get in place as we, you know, physically move from here to ChinaCam in September. Let's just pray that you know that not just the leaders, but that everyone will take ownership, you know, carry their load. Let's also pray for the retreat that's coming up in a couple weeks. Pray for Pastor Dom and you know, just all the activities and things prepared. That above all, That God, that the Holy Spirit, like Pastor Sam said on Sunday, would just feel comfortable, would feel invited in the midst of our retreat. That it wouldn't be about anything else other than getting in the face of God and having an encounter with Him. Okay, so let's just pray and cover this, and for ourselves and for our friends. Father, we thank you, God, this morning, God, just for the opportunity to come together and to be in your presence. God, we thank you this morning for your word. And God, just I pray, Lord, that as you speak on our hearts, just this sense, Lord, your spirit in us, for righteous dealings, Lord God. What does it mean to deal righteously, Lord God, with our peers or in our workplace or with our families? And God, I pray that you would give us a real sense for that and convict in the areas, Lord God, where we haven't been dealing righteously, Lord, and that in fact we've been very ungodly. And then, Father, you know, when we consider your righteousness and you know, what would be righteous dealings between you and us, God, we recognize, Lord, that your righteous dealing for us is that we would perish. God, is that we would, you know, pay the consequences of our sins. But God, you went above righteous dealings, Lord. You went above what is righteous or required. And Lord God, you provided grace in your Son, Jesus Christ. God, you went above and beyond what others would call righteous. And so I pray, Lord, that, you know, maybe if we have that heart, you know, this attitude of how can I be gracious, Lord, then maybe, you know, being righteous is an afterthought. Maybe it's just automatic. Maybe it's second nature. God, help us to be gracious, God, in our dealings, in the people that we meet with. Lord, in the way that you were gracious to us, in the way that we didn't, Lord, you didn't just not cheat us, Lord, you didn't give us what we deserved. And I pray that we would have that heart today as we go out, with a heart of thanksgiving, Lord God, and a hand of graciousness upon every person that we come upon. And this by your Spirit in us, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Have a wonderful morning and a great day. Enjoy your time of prayer.